good to be here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord bless you. Okay. Open your Bibles, please. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Just be seated. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you. It's a joy. It's an honor to be here. Thank the Lord for the honor of being here. And it's God's grace is so wonderful. And all we are is because of Him. I thank the Lord for Hal's Anderson College. When we arrived, I asked Brother Caleb to let me off so I can walk down to the lake. And there's so many memories. Just walking over here and just remembering decisions that the Lord allowed me to make. Things the Lord taught me. Remember after a chapel message that Dr. House preached here, going out to the lake area, just broken for what God has spoken in my life. There's so many memories here, classrooms and division meetings and bus meetings and of course the bus route and things that I learned from men of God that were a blessing to me and ministered to my life. And I thank the Lord that I remember some tremendous teachers and classes, but the things that really changed my life was the chapel messages and, of course, being on my bus route and the Lord teaching me so much. And I thank the Lord for this place. My wife and I were trained here, and yes, I married the greatest lady in the whole wide world. She's also the most beautiful one, amen. She was kind of blind when she met me, so I'm glad, praise God. She's doing well. She's struggled with her health. She had typhoid 4 times, but I thank the Lord that she is stronger, and yeah, covered your prayers for her. I appreciate that real much. I thank you, Brother Young, for having the bus reunion. I was so humbled to be a part of it. And just being yesterday with men of God, like Brother Douglas, who we were in school together, and seeing God, what God has done in their lives and the faithfulness after the years. After you serve God for a while, you begin to really, really appreciate and admire and respect faithfulness. Just being faithful. I read something just recently, 70% of ministry is just being where you're supposed to be. And I thank the Lord for faithful men and for what God is doing in their lives. And thank you for keeping Hal's Anderson College like it was. The spirit is you're a little bit more of a mess than we were, but no, I'm just teasing. But new generations, amen. We were probably like you were, but I don't remember that. But when you walk in this place, you sense the same spirit and the same emphasis and the same preaching, the same philosophy of ministry. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bible, speak to Mark chapter 3. Please stand to your feet. Mark chapter 3. Bible says in verse 13, Mark chapter 3, verse 13, and he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, that they come unto him. And notice verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that they might send forth to preach. I'm going to preach on the subject, a call to be with Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and what you have done. It's all because of you and your faithfulness and your mercy and your care and your presence and your word and your promises. and your love. We owe you everything, Lord. And I pray that you please just allow me to be a blessing. Thank you for each young person that's here preparing for service. And I pray that you would continue to prepare them and minister to them, that they would leave this place and be used of you in a great and mighty way, that many thousands of souls may be saved, and churches started all over this world because of students that are here in this place. Bless now, Jesus, and may the Spirit of the living God meet with us in power. Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 9. At the beginning of Christ's ministry, he went up into Galilee. And the Bible says there in verse 35 that he visited all the cities and villages in Galilee. At the time, there was over 204 cities and villages in all of Galilee, and he visited each one of them. The Bible says in verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore, Lord, the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had, chapter 10, verse 1, and we had called, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. The Bible says, and we had called unto him his 12 disciples. Again, Jesus saw the need, and he prayed, the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. He called 12, and later he called 70 others to go and to preach and do the work of the ministry. But we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he called and ordained his 12 disciples, the Bible says that he called them unto him. Then it says in Mark chapter 3 in verse 14, it says, and he ordained 12 that they would be with him, that they might send forth to preach. Notice that first he called them to be with him, and then that they might preach. Then they may go out and do the work of the ministry. Yes, a call to the ministry is a call, first of all, to be with Christ. Yes, we're to go out and preach the gospel and start churches and do the work of the ministry. But first, it is a call to be with him. A call to be with Christ, first of all, is a call to know him. There in Philippians, please, in chapter 3. Philippians, turn with me, Philippians chapter 3. I like to read and just yell a while. Amen? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, the Bible says there in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. Yes, a call to ministry. First of all, it is a call to be with Christ. It is a call to know him. Paul is saying in this passage that his purpose and his determination was to know Christ intimately and to be profoundly related with him. Young person, that is exactly what, first of all, as we're preparing to do the work of the ministry and as we continue to serve him, a call is first unto him, to know him, in a profound way. That's why when we go through trials and tribulations not a time to get discouraged. It's a time to get close to Him, because the school of God is the time of desert. The school of God is a time of trial, because that's when you begin to know Him intimately and to walk with Him and to understand that the most sublime and greatest knowledge we can experience is to know Him. Young person, walk with Him. Those who know Him the best, serve Him the best. Yes, as we prepare to win souls, and we learn how to prepare message and hermeneutics and doctrine and theology and learn how to start a bus rider and start a church, and yes, all those things we must learn. But oh, young person, first of all, you need to spend time knowing Him, because a call to ministry is a call to be with Jesus, to know Him, to know His heart, to know His compassion, to know His humility, to know His meekness, to know His tenderness, to know His holiness, to know His wisdom, to know His mind, to be a servant like He is a servant. Yes, as you know Him and you walk with Him, yes, God will prepare you. God will show you. God will mold you. God will transform you. God will place His presence in your life. One of the as we drove by up here at Highway 30, remembering Baptist City, I was in dorm 2 years, and then I married, and I was a married student for 2 years. And there's places there in Baptist City where at night I would go and just talk to the Lord, and that's where God gave me my wife. Because when I started dating Karen, 5 weeks after we started dating, she cut me off like a hot potato. And I said, okay, Lord. But I said, Lord, if you want her, you will speak to her. I'm not going to look for her. I'm not going to call her. I'm just going to ask you, please, to move in her heart. And 2 weeks later, she made it known she wanted to continue our relationship. God was good. Amen. But see, when I was a senior, all seniors go through this, Lord, where do you want me to go? And there's places I can take you to there at my Baptist City. And also, I lived there in Gary. There was a cemetery near Gary that I would go to and just talk to the Lord. There's places where God showed me and revealed to me His perfect will. How you need to know Him. How you need to walk with Him. As Enoch walked with God, as Noah walked with God, as Abraham was a friend of God, as Moses talked to God as a friend would talk to his friend. A man like David, who was a man after God's own heart because of the time he has spent with God. Yes. Look with me, please, in the book of Ezra in chapter 7. Young person, a call to the ministry is a call to be with Christ. Is a call to walk with Christ. The Bible says there in the book of Ezra, please. In chapter 7. The Bible says there in verse 9, for upon this day of the first month began to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. Young person, that's what you should, your heart should burn for, the good hand of God on your life. The favor of God, the grace of God, the presence of God in your life. Because you and God, wherever you go in the world, will be a majority. Yes, to know Him, that His good hand. Then it says there in verse 10, and Ezra, I had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach
Israel and Israel's statutes and judgments. See, the good hand of his God made him a man that God used in a great and mighty way. You read the book of Nehemiah, how God brought a great revival through the hand and the preaching of Ezra, a man who God used, related to his God intimately, related to the word of God intimately. God will do with you what you do with his word. We read there in the book of, please look with me, in the book of Joshua, please. The book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, please. Yes. Call to know Christ. To know him intimately. To be intimately related to him and with him. God's hand on your life. His presence on your life. Here we have this great passage when Joshua became the leader God chose to lead his people into the promised land. And Moses had, the servant of God had died. And the Lord encourages Joshua. It says, be strong, be courageous, be valiant. And then it says there in verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And young person, that's what we need. We need his presence. As you walk through the shadows of death with someone you love, as you walk through trials and tribulations and go through the fiery furnace of affliction, as you see God work and you see God bless, but oh, young person, what we need is his presence. And look what it says there in chapter 1, verse 17. According as we hearken unto Moses, the people said to Joshua, in all things, so we will hearken unto thee, only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. And that's exactly what people need in us. They don't need personality. They don't need charisma. They need someone who walks with God. They can sense the presence of God on their life. They can sense the love of God. They can sense the power of God. They can sense his heart. Young person, walk with God. Know him intimately. You are first called to be with him, to know him, to walk with him. There it says in Joshua chapter 3 and in verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. See, Joshua got a hold of his God. Joshua said, yes, I will be obedient to the commandments of my God. And yes, God, I need you. Lord, you've got to be with me. And the Lord said, you know what, Joshua? I can trust you. I can place my hand in you. I can lift you up. I can magnify you because I know that you have a heart for me. You have a heart to be obedient to me. You're not going to get proud. You're not going to get haughty. It's not going to go to your head. I will magnify you. I will use you because you know me intimately. Therefore, I know your heart. Young person, that's what it's all about. It's God's hand on your life. God's presence on your life. It is a call to be with Jesus. A call to know him, to walk with him. Please listen to me. Because it is a call to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Can you please go back with me to Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3. Oh, how we need servants of God that emulate the Master, to walk in the footsteps of the Master. Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. Being gradually, please listen, gradually and continually being transformed into the image of Christ.
to know him. Yes, his power and his the power of his resurrection, to know his power. And yes, the fellowship of his sufferings, as we know him and walk with him, we will suffer for him. And in that suffering for him, as you know him and you walk with him, he will transform you to be more like him. Please turn with me to John chapter 14. One of the joys of my life is to get to know men of God. And I've been so privileged to rub shoulders a little bit with some precious servants. And I mean this with all honesty. One of the men that I admire most and respect most is Pastor John Wilkerson. Because since the first time I met him many years ago, I met him in college, but I don't remember him that much. But when he was pastor there in Long Beach, I saw Christ in him. And I say this with all respect, and it's true. I can count in my two hands of all the pastors that I know that I can see Christ in them. I'm not trying to be critical. You know what we need? We need a revival of men of God, leaving our names aside in my ministry and my opinion. Just seek to be like him, to walk like he walked. This passage of scripture, this year I've been teaching in our church. The theme is knowing Christ. I've enjoyed so much this year going through the Gospels, and I've learned so many things this year about just knowing Christ. The Bible says there in John 14, 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. That thou mayest, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus said, Philip, and if you read other scriptures in John, my works, my testimony, my words, they give testimony of the Father. They give testimony that I and the Father are one. And he says, Philip, if you've seen me, I don't have to show you the Father. You've seen the Father. And as I began reading this passage, the Bible says there, and continue, please look with me in verse 10, believest thou that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works, and Christ dwells in us. Amen. And he does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do greater also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And I don't have time to explain this passage, but he dwells in us. He went to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, that lives in us, that empowers us, that it magnifies Christ. And as we do the works of as we serve him, the works that we do should be a testimony that if they have seen us, they should see Christ. To be like him.
when I was my first year of college here at Hollis Anderson, I struggled with the fact, and this is the truth. I said, Lord, I had studied 4 years of university. I was had one semester left of classes to graduate with a degree in political science at there in San Francisco State University. I had 12 college credits. I'm sorry, I had 112 college credits, university credits. I need 8 more credits to get my degree. But God would not let me continue. He just wouldn't. And so I came to Hollis Anderson College. And I had been called earlier, but I just said, Lord, I can't be a pastor. Lord, I'm not a very good speaker. When I was younger, I would stutter. I still stutter a little bit, but not bad. But I stuttered, and I said, Lord, I can't be a pastor. Lord, what are you doing calling me? I can't. And my first year, I struggled so much. Lord, should I continue at Hollis Anderson? Lord, do you really want me to pastor? I don't think I can do it. And at a 6 o'clock meeting there at First Baptist Church, and question and answer sessions. I don't remember the question, but I remember the answer. Dr. Howell said this, young men who are here at the college, he said, don't seek to be a good pastor, a good preacher. Seek to be a good Christian. And when he said that, it just, bah! I said, Lord, I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Word of God. And Lord, by your grace, I can be a good Christian. And that's what we need, just to be good Christians. To be like Him. So that as you serve Him, as you walk, and you do the works of Christ, as people see you behind a pulpit, they see you in the homes that you visit, they see you teaching the Word of God and counseling and crying with people and being there for people. As they see your works, they should see the works of Christ. And as they see you, they should see Christ. Years after David Livingston went to heaven, read his biography. You need to read biographies. Read as many as you can. They've really influenced my life. David Livingston, after he died, there were some missionaries. See, he opened the way for missionaries to come behind him. And hundreds and thousands came after him. Thousands of souls were saved after his death. They were teaching and preaching on Christ for several days and several weeks in a certain place in Africa. I don't remember the village. And after one of the meetings, after weeks of teaching on Christ and who He was and His person, two of the natives came to the missionary and they said, you know, we do know who Christ, we know Christ. We've met Christ. And the missionary said, well, when did you meet Christ? Yes, several years ago. He lived among us. They figured out that they were referring to David Livingston. Spurgeon said, after a man pastors a church after 5 years that he's gone, people will not remember so much his messages, but they will remember his works of love. They will remember if you emulated Christ. That's what young person, a call to the ministry is a call unto Him, a call to be with Him, a call to know Him, a call to walk with Him, a call to be like Christ. That's why, like it says in the book of Luke, please look with me in Luke, in chapter 10, we need to be men of God and women of God who dwell and spend time in His Word at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says, 10 and verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. As we spend time with him and his word, begin to know him. Your heart begins to yearn to even know him more intimately, and to walk with him, and to die to self every day, and let Christ live his life through you. Let Christ preach through you. Let Christ win souls through you. Let Christ love through you. To be more like him. And yes, the times of temptation, they will come. But those who walk with him and are intimately related to him, God will give you which you need to resist, because all of us will be tempted. Tempted to veer to a different direction. Tempted with money. Tempted with applause. Tempted with immorality. Oh, but those that are intimately related to him and that walk with God, give me the grace you need to be able to withstand temptation and to quit and to leave the will of God. And times of hurt will come. 6 years ago, my wife and I buried our 28-year-old son. Last night, I was trying to comfort a lady that I won to Christ many years ago, Mary, in Chicago, when I was at Northwest Bible Baptist Church. Israel, their oldest son, went to heaven several weeks ago. Stacy Marriott, who's a graduate hall at Anderson College, his daughter Sharon, her husband, is the one who died in a motorcycle wreck. And I called her up, and I said, Mary, yes. Hurt and you want to, but I said, Mary, God will give you the grace, and you understand that God has a purpose. And I was able to share with her the pain that my wife and I went through, and to comfort her in the loss of her son. And yes, those that walk with him, yes, will sometimes suffer, but oh, to know him, to be with him, there's consolation. There's understanding, there's wisdom, there's grace, there's strength, there's comfort, there's direction, there's protection. Oh, the peace of God. That's what young person, don't get carried away in all the activities. No. Be a young person who walks with him, who knows him intimately. And yes, prepare yourself to preach. And go out and do great things for God. And work and be diligent and plan and have vision. But do not forget that you're first called to be with him. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much.